Welcome to a special podcast series. My name is Elisa Eivindsdottir. I'm on an internship program at the Institute for Information, Telecommunication and Media Law at the University of Munster. Today I will be talking about the latest parliamentary election and the media policy of the different parties. On the 29th of October, there was a parliamentary election in Iceland. Parliamentary elections are usually held every fourth year. However, due to the fact that three of the ministers in the government were mentioned in the Panama Papers earlier this year, the government promised an early election this autumn and the Prime Minister of Iceland resigned. Furthermore, some other changes were done in the cabinet. The election this year was therefore held 1 year earlier than usual. Traditionally, the political landscape in Iceland has included four major parties. The Independent Party, which is a right-winged conservative party, the Progressive Party, a centre party with strong support in the rural parts of Iceland, the Social Democrats, and the leftist Green Party. However, the political landscape has changed quite a lot, especially after the financial crisis in Iceland in 2008. After the financial crisis, new parties have emerged in Icelandic politics. 3 years ago, the Pirate Party got elected to Parliament, as well as another newcomer, the party Bright Future, which is also a central liberal party. After the election on 29th of October, a new right-wing liberal party also got elected to the Icelandic parliament, called the Viðreisn. In the morning of October 30th, it was clear that seven parties got elected to the Icelandic parliament, a very unusual situation in the Icelandic political landscape. There are 63 seats in the Icelandic parliament, and members of seven different parties are now filling these seats. The Independent Party is the biggest party in Iceland with 29% of the votes and 21 seats in the parliament. In the second place were the leftist Green with 15.9% of the votes and 10 seats. The Pirates got a good turnout with 14.5% of the votes and got 10 seats in the parliament. This was a vast increase because of the last election the Pirates only got 3 seats. Some say that despite the fact that the Pirates gained 7 seats, it should be considered a loss, since at one point the Pirates had about 40% of the votes according to opinion polls in Iceland. The Progressive Party was the biggest loser in the election with only 11.5% of the votes. They got 8 seats and lost 11 in the parliament. The newcomer Viðreisn got 10.5% of the votes and 7 seats. The Bright Future got 7.2% of the votes and 4 seats, and the Social Democrats almost vanished from the parliament with only 5.7% of the votes and 3 seats. The Social Democrats lost substantial part of the support and 6 seats in the parliament. At the peak of the support, the Social Democrats had about 30% of the votes in Iceland. It is important to note that a party has to get 5% of the votes to get representative in the parliament. A few smaller parties did not reach the 5% limit to get into the parliament. 5 other parties got a bit more than 5% of the total votes, but no seats in the parliament. For the last 3 years, the Independent Party and the Progressive Party formed a coalition government in Iceland. Prior to the election on the 29th of October, the Pirate Party initiated a coalition between the leftist Green Party, Bright Future and the Social Democrats. The right-wing Liberal Party, Viðreisn, were also invited to join the discussion for a possible coalition. They decided not to join, however. The public therefore had a choice between a coalition of 4 parties representing left-wing politics and a selection of parties in the centre and to the right who had not formed a coalition prior to the election. The opinion polls showed that the Independent Party and the Progressive Party would not be able to form a majority government after the election. This was mainly due to the fact that opinion polls showed an extensive downfall in support for the Progressive Party. Just a month prior to the election, the former Prime Minister who had to resign and the current Prime Minister fought for the leadership in the Progressive Party. The current Prime Minister won. However, during to the days after, it was quite evident that the supporters of the former leader of the party, the Prime Minister who had to resign, were not satisfied. The party thus went to election with a very split party. The political parties introduced their political priorities before the election. The big issues were the fishing policy, new negotiation on financial support for agriculture, issues related to the increasing tourism in Iceland, better infrastructure, educational policy and increased public funding for healthcare. When looking at the different political priorities, it came as a surprise that some political parties did not seem to have any policy related to media and the information society. Among the parties with a policy, the Paris had the most substantial policy in this field. The largest party in Iceland, the Independence Party, wants to establish a committee where representatives from all the political parties in the parliament are appointed. The aim of the committee is to change certain paragraphs in the media law. The reason for the establishment of this working group is that the private television and radio companies in Iceland have put a great pressure on the Minister of Education, Science and Culture, who is a member of the Independence Party. They want to reduce the VAT percentage on audiovisual content. They also want to reduce the responsibilities of the media companies so they can compete with transnational content providers, as well as wanting the public service broadcaster to be prohibited from getting advertising revenues. To emphasize the point, all private radio and television channels were blank for 7 minutes on 1st of September this year. The Independence Party have for many years had it on their political agenda to limit the remit of the public service broadcaster, giving the private media more room on the market. They want to achieve this by limiting the content and by taking the public service broadcaster off the advertising market in Iceland. The policy of the Social Democrats is, on the contrary, to strengthen the public service broadcaster. They also want to re-establish the Broadcasting Cultural Fund, which gave grants to cultural projects as well as documentaries for both television and radio. However, the Social Democrats also want internet media to be able to apply for funding. The Social Democrats want to promote investigative journalism since they considered it to be a major cornerstone for a democratic society. Therefore, the Social Democrats want to establish a fund for journalists working on investigative journalistic projects. They want to find ways to promote local media all around the country and make changes to the law on defamation to strengthen the position on journalists in Iceland. The media policy of the Progressive Party is that media is an important cornerstone for a democratic society. They want to increase the transparency of the media ownership as well as decreasing media concentration in Iceland. The Progressive Party believes that the public service broadcaster is important. It is important to strengthening the Icelandic language and gives people access to objective information. Furthermore, the public service broadcaster has a responsibility to serve the whole country, which is important to the Progressive Party. Furthermore, the Progressive Party want to license fee to go directly to the public service broadcaster. Since the financial crisis in Iceland, part of the license fee has gone to the government for other purpose. The leftist Green Party believe that it is important to strengthen the environment for professional media. The policy is to have a strong public service media because it is important to providing information and culture in Iceland. They want to give the public service broadcaster an increased independence, both professionally and financially. The leftist Green Party also wants to lower the VAT percentages on media companies and establish a fund for investigative journalism. The Pirate Party has the most extensive policy concerning media and the information society. The captain of the Pirates initiated a parliamentary resolution when she was a member of another party in 2010. This resolution is the policy document for the Pirate Party in Iceland. According to the resolution, Iceland should make necessary legal changes to create a great environment for freedom of expression and information. The Pirates want to look at the best legal practices in other countries by passing new legislation or by changing and amending current law. According to the parliamentary resolution, changes should be made to give a greater source protection in Iceland. Furthermore, the Pirates want to pass a substantive legislation to protect whistleblowers as well as providing an increased communication protection. According to the resolution, historical records must be protected. Libel and defamation claims should not be done on the grounds of old documents, according to the Pirates. Furthermore, there should be changes made by defamation law and libel tourism in defamation cases should be prevented. Only 13 days have now passed since the election. Formal negotiations have not yet started between the 7 elected parties in Parliament to form a government. The leader of the Independent Party has been meeting with leaders from other parties before normal negotiations start with selective parties. It is not clear if there will be a coalition government with a majority or minority in the parliament. It is also not clear which parties will be in the power for the next 4 years. It is therefore not clear what the new government want to do when it comes to media and information policy. Will there be a right-wing government, a centred government, or a left-wing government? The answer will come within the next days or weeks.